Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Panning the Stream. My name is Dan. Across the table from me is my wife, Bianca.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yes, I'm good.
Good?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Doing podcasts, talking about spooky movies for Halloween time.
It is. It's that week. Tis the season?
What is it that they call Halloween that's not...
All Hallows Eve.
Not that one, but there's like a season.
The spookin' season.
It's like something squash. Something squash? You don't know.
Squash season?
No. It's like another word for like spooky season. I'll just look it up.
Okay, all right. We got a live Chromebook search here. Let's see.
Squash Halloween.
What was the search, by the way? What were the
search? Squash Halloween.
Okay. What do you got there?
Nothing.
Okay. This is like, okay, what are the things that you're convinced are actual phrases that only you and maybe direct members of your family have said? One of them is, Rumnastics.
Yes.
Is the game Rummikube. You are convinced it's called Rumnastics, even though...
Well, it's also called Rummikube.
Of course, because that's what it says on the box and everything.
Rumnastics is one of them.
But if you search for Rumnastics, it seems like literally no one else has called it that.
Well, that's wrong. I mean, I know plenty of people that call it Rumnastics.
Outside of your family?
Yes.
Who?
You wouldn't know them.
Oh, no?
You wouldn't know him, no.
Okay, how about Homeless Mints?
Homeless Mints. Everyone knows Homeless Mints.
I think I searched that, too, and no one knows what Homeless Mints are.
Well, just because it's not showing up in the Google search doesn't mean that... it's not something that everyone's ever recorded. It's not part of recorded history. It's just part of the... it's like in the ether. It's just like... not something you can put your finger on. Homeless mints surround us and are us. Homeless mints are those little mints that are like the peppermints, the red and white peppermints with the
swirls. Just complimentary mints.
That are like in a bowl on the counter, like when you're leaving a Chinese food restaurant.
Or you leave a Chili's or something and it's sitting there in a wicker basket.
Homeless mints, yeah.
Okay. Didn't find any backup. You tell you what, let us know on Twitter or email us if you know what homeless mints are.
And the other thing that I'm really confident in is coffee and.
Oh, yeah, that I don't think I've searched that because that's a hard search.
That's a hard search. But coffee and just means like, oh, hey, friend, do you want to come over for some coffee and? And the implication is you're going to get some coffee. You're probably going to get some kind of cookie or cake. And there'll be conversation and good times.
I'd say out of the three, that's the one that has the most chance of actually being a phrase that people say outside of your family. Because there were a lot of phrases when I first met you that I just assumed like, oh, this must be an East Coast thing. I don't know East Coast people really. And then as I just kind of poked around and I realized no one else said, and then also no one on the internet has ever said. I've started to doubt everything I know about you.
Are you saying that everything on the internet you read is true?
No, I'm just saying if something is true, you'll probably find some evidence of it on the internet.
No, that's not true.
You make a compelling point.
That's not how it is.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess it's coffee and Rumnastics and homeless mints.
What's wrong with a homeless mint? Just accept it.
Okay, I know that's what you call it. Anywho, we're here during the spookin' season, during Squash Central, here on All Hallows Eve week, to watch. You know, we knew we wanted to do something spooky for the time of year, and I did some searching. There were a few possibilities that came up. Although you had this weird idea that you wanted to watch a good movie.
Well, you had proposed we watch The Cane from WWE horror. I think is a horror movie.
See No Evil. Yes.
See No Evil.
Yes.
So. I told you, like, you were like, well, what do you think we should look up? And I was like, well, I'm kind of in the mood for a good movie. And then you said that. And I was like,
wait.
That's not what I want.
But to be fair, I didn't say that because I thought it would be a good movie. I think I was like, okay, cool. I'll look for a good one. And then I was like, oh, wait, there's the Kane one. Do you want to watch this bad one? And you're like, I just said I wanted to watch a good one.
Sometimes I'm in the mood for shitty movies. And sometimes I want, like, actually decent movies.
And I feel like we've done well, I don't know if I'd call Ghoulie shitty. It's campy. It's not great,
no.
But it was fun bad.
Yeah.
But we've done like a baddish horror movie in recent weeks or months here on Painting the Stream. So we decided to go with, I guess modern classic is weird considering it was like 23 years ago.
Yeah, but it's not modern at all.
But I think many would consider it a classic in the genre.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And certainly one that did some really cool meta things before meta was a thing. We're talking about Scream, the first Scream.
Ah!
Hey, there you go, the titular Scream there. That was the sound effect from the movie, the one Scream. That was Drew Barrymore. I plugged in the sound effect. So you didn't seem to realize that. So, okay, let's set the table here.
Backtrack, reverse.
Yes. You have not seen Scream before we watched it last night.
No.
Okay.
And when I was a kid, I remember seeing, you know, it's so funny because when you're a kid, this was 96, so I was 5 years old. I was born in 91. You obviously don't remember all the commercials that you see. I feel like I remember more commercials from my youth than I do present day commercials. But one of the movies I remember seeing advertised was Scream. And it was always one of those movies that's like, I thought it was so cool because there were these people and about these kids in high school that were really cool. And like, it was just one of those things I know I would never get to see, like that and like Jawbreakers and like, you know, name brand cereals and like Pantene Pro-V, you know, things
these are all the same thing.
I always saw commercials for, but were just in my youth, just completely unattainable.
Right, like a big Lego set
or
something.
I was at the mercy of, you know, whatever my parents would buy me, so or take me to
or
see.
Or let you see.
Yes. But I will say that by the time I came around, my parents are, I have two older brothers, so when I came around, they were probably already a little like, whatever. So they weren't as strict about what I could and could not watch.
So, but you did not see it. You did not wind up seeing it.
Oh, no, because I was five. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
So I was 12, and I remember, like, it was kind of a phenomenon at the time. And we were just, like, on the cusp of, like, pre-internet.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of hype was still through the traditional means of, you know, like, people were talking about it a ton. It wasn't like a web presence or something like that. It was just, I would read a lot of articles about this because it was so different in that it's not a satire, really. It's just kind of meta and self-aware. Like, the characters within the movie are constantly referencing Halloween. So it's directed by Wes Craven, and it is referencing him by name in his movies and things like that. And, man, everyone talked about it back then. It was controversial for the violence back then. This is right when I was starting to really get into, like, tracking box office and reading Entertainment Weekly every week and getting really obsessed with movies. And I remember just constantly reading about this. And so we rented it when it came out because my mom did not take me to the theaters to see it because she knew it was really violent. But we rented it one night on VHS, and we got to the end of the Drew Barrymore scene at the beginning where she's hanging from the tree. And I remember just being like, you know what? It's the Seinfeld in the theater, like, I'm just excusing himself thing. Like, that's kind of how I was at 12. It's like, I'll watch this at some point, but this is pretty spooky to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, granted, I'm 28 years old now, but I wasn't spooked, nor was I disgusted by the violence, because I didn't feel like it was particularly gratuitous. I mean, it's not like it showed anything happening for the most part.
A lot of blood, but it's very much like slasher stuff. Like, we've seen the original Halloween and the new Halloween in recent years, and like, I don't think it's that much different than like the original Halloween as far as like, hey, it's a lot of knives, a lot of blood and stabbing and stuff like
What's
that.
What's the most disgusting movie you've ever seen? Like, horror kind of?
Event Horizon.
Seriously? That?
They're constantly clawing eyes out and eating their own arms and
I remember when I was a lot younger, I saw Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, you've told me about that. That sounds like straight up like almost snuff film bad.
Like, yeah, well, I remember reading that like they took the director to court because like people actually thought that this girl got impaled at the end of it, but he like talked about the effects that he used to make it look realistic. But they like it's really bad. They kill animals on camera like. For shoot.
Isn't there like a turtle thing for shoot?
Yeah, it's...
Everything I've heard about it does not sound
it's
like
it's just a terrible movie, too. But it was at a time in my life where like I was actively seeking out stuff just for shock value and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not like that anymore.
I know that one's like super notorious for that stuff. Mm. But yeah, as a kid, like I loved like violent movies, like action movies and, you know, Terminator stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as violent as those are on paper and they're R-rated or whatever... It's not that bad.
No.
It's not horror. You know, I was never a big horror guy. But as far as the Drew Barrymore scene at the beginning, so did you think she was more of a part of this movie?
Oh,
coming
for
in?
Sure.
Like,
for
it's
sure.
Just the poster. I mean, it's like her face, you know?
Do you think that the movie's success had a lot to do with its cast? Because its cast had, like, established actors and actresses in it.
Yeah, I was reading that was kind of a new thing, because, like, horror movies before that used to just kind of cast unknowns. And every once in a while, you'd get, like, Jennifer Aniston was in, like, a Leprechaun movie, and Johnny Depp's in the first Friday the 13th that went on to become big stars.
Mariska Hargitay was in Ghoulies.
That's right, yeah. but this was, like, kind of a, as far as, like, 90s, mid-90s all-stars here, as far as these high school kids. You got Neve Campbell, Rose McGowan, Matthew Lillard, which, oh my God, every scene he's in, I just want to punch him in the face in
which
this movie.
Which one is that?
He was one of the killers at the end.
Oh, Stu.
He was the really obnoxious
Stu.
One. Yeah, yeah. Not the Skeet Ulrich one. Skeet Ulrich. David Arquette, Jamie Kennedy, and Courtney Cox. Mm-hmm. And also Henry Winkler playing the principal. But, like, this is a, it's a hell of a cast, honestly.
Right.
It's really, really good. Now, I also noticed, I don't know if you noticed this, but Dan from Deadwood, who was, like, Al Swearengen's right-hand man, he was the cameraman that gets killed.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
Courtney
I know.
Cox's
I recognize him from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I saw him a ton in Deadwood, and so it was kind of cool to see him back here. But, yeah, I thought everyone was really well cast.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was, you know, for bad acting is a staple of horror movies and slashers, but you know, it's cheesy in the ways I think it's supposed to be cheesy. I think it's very self-aware, and, like, I don't think the acting is bad for what they're doing here.
It definitely isn't, no. Yeah, and it, like, you told me it was very meta, and I was not expecting it to be that much. I honestly thought it was just another, like, horror movie. I didn't know that it was so, like, referential and everything. Because I knew about the Scary Movies.
Yeah.
And I thought those were a parody of Scream. I didn't know Scream was, not that Scream is a parody of prior horror movies, but it is, like, so meta and, you know, like, actively talks about, like, the tropes of the genre and then subverts it in certain ways, like the main female, like, actually making smart choices instead of just kind of throwing herself to the killer and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I would call Scream a tribute or, like, a love letter to classic horror movies, and I would call Scary Movie a parody of Scream.
Because mm-hmm.
Scary Movie was directly going after Scream.
Do you ever see any of those Scary Movies?
I think I saw the first two.
I saw one of them. The only thing I remember about it is that Seth Green...
That sounds right.
The guy from Mass Effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Seth Green, like, he got his, like, private area injured, and then he asked some girl to massage it, and then it, like, cuts away, and there was just, like, a giant wave of cum.
You'd, like, six her to the ceiling, right?
Yeah, or something like
that's
that.
Right.
That's all I remember.
Yep.
Because I was a kid and I didn't understand it.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like a fire hydrant situation there.
Mm.
Also, I remember David Cross being in a wheelchair, and the constant joke is, like, he has a weird hand, I think. And, like, he, like, eats cereal or something and no one else wants to eat the cereal because his weird hand was in there.
Mm.
I'm sure Scary Movie has held up really well. Scary Movie, also the working title of Scream,
mm-hmm.
Which Courtney Cox says by, like a titular line at the end there. It was like something out of a scary movie.
And then she says, all this stuff makes me want to scream.
Yes. I wonder if she says Scream 2 in the next one. Which I actually read the second one a lot of critics said was better, and I've never seen that one.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, they added Sarah Michelle Gellar and Jerry O'Connell. I just watched the trailer afterwards.
Neve Campbell, Sydney has the worst luck, Sydney Prescott. Her mom is brutally killed. Then the events of Scream happen.
Also, her boyfriend, Skeet Ulrich, is one of the killers.
Yeah, and isn't it like the dad is killed? The dad is one of the people that are killed?
No, because remember, they bring him in at the end with the duct tape on his mouth, and
he's beaten up and taken. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you bring up the meta thing. Yeah, Skeet Ulrich. I wonder, I haven't seen him. He was in Chill Factor. Do you remember that?
No.
I think that's him and Cuba Gooding Jr. that have to, like, transport a bomb and an ice cream truck. I think they're Penguin. I get Snow Dogs and Chill Factor mixed up. I think they're both Cuba Gooding Jr. and Cold Things.
Okay.
I think. I could be totally wrong. I think I was working at the theater when both those came out.
He was typecast into movies about Cold Things.
Cold Things. I will just never forget the Snow Dogs poster. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, man. It's great. You got to see that. Remind me after this to Google it. It's great. But yeah, if it wasn't 90s enough, there's that scene in the Blockbuster, which I really appreciated just because, like, I've had so many of those nights where it's like, oh, I'm staying over at my grandma's and she says I can rent a movie or something and just kind of perusing the aisles for VHSs
totally.
Or Super Nintendo games
and also,
or something.
It was, like, packed. Like, everyone's renting movies. Yeah, I love that. I remember when we were anticipating bad weather, Girlman and I, my dad and I would go to West Coast Video and rent a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Do you, I want to talk on the meta thing real quick, because I think meta is a thing you see all the time now, because through just, like, the internet and social media and just the way pop culture is now, I think fandoms have made things so referential. And I think, like, you know, I don't know if I'm making any sense here, but, like, nerd fandoms are constantly making references to their favorite, like, movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas back in the day, it would be rare to see someone like the comic book guy from The Simpsons that just, like, oh, he always has this reference, or he has something about Superman, he says, or something about a horror movie. Like, you didn't see that represented on screen at
right.
all. Whereas this was this weird thing pre-internet where it is just very much kind of winking at the camera. Mm-hmm. Not even that, just like being self-aware about the tropes of the genre,
right.
Which was such a weird thing that seemed really ahead of its time.
Yeah,
you know?
It is interesting to think about the ubiquity of like meta aspects of media and stuff. I think with the internet now, everything you could possibly imagine is so accessible in terms of media that like the actual fandom wants to protect it in some way. And by making all these references to things of the past, it kind of gives them a way to wink at each other, like the true fans, you know, and the people that don't get it just won't get it, and they're not us, you know what I mean? It's just
yeah.
kind of implicit gatekeeping in a way. But I mean, obviously, there's way more value to it than that, but I'm just saying, I think with the proliferation of the internet, that's definitely contributed to it.
Yeah, like, I can't remember how many times I've seen people post, like, did you know today is the day that Marty McFly traveled to in the future and Back to the Future 2? And, like, that's incorrectly posted all the time, every year. But, like, back before the internet, you'd maybe have, like, a friend that really liked that movie, mm-hmm. and, like, but even he probably wouldn't know that tiny bit of trivia. And just, like, trivia and all that stuff has exploded in thanks to the internet.
Yeah, totally. And there's nothing worse than, like, when I think of the perfect reference to something and the people around me just don't get it at all.
Yeah, or you'll see this a lot on the internet where, let's say, something that everyone's watching is happening. Like, I don't know, the Oscars or something where there's a lot of people tweeting about it, mm-hmm. you know, and something silly happens and then everyone thinks of the same joke at the same time, you know, or like, oh, there's a Nintendo Direct and they announce something and everyone's got the exact same joke about the
sure.
thing. I think you see that a lot. But yeah, when you've got the perfect joke like lined up in the chamber and there's just, you look around, you read the room, and it's like, I'm not even going to try it.
Yeah. Or you try it and just no one acknowledges it or anything.
I'll get that a lot with my dad where he'll be like at a family function without me in Kansas and he'll be like, oh, could have used you today. I had the perfect joke here for this thing, but nobody would have known this like Norm MacDonald reference or something.
Yeah, it's so funny on the internet. I feel like people wait to read the room in terms of like, what are the prevailing opinions on this occurrence?
Oh,
and
yeah.
then I'll just find a way to reword it to make
yeah.
it seem like it was my own.
Yep.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, before Scream in 96, it seems like Wes Craven kind of dipped his toe into the whole meta thing with one of the Friday the 13th movies, which was, I think it was the fourth one, and it was called Wes Craven's New Nightmare. And it kind of does the same thing of playing on his own horror movies tropes and everything by having it be him shooting a Freddy movie in the real world, and then this fictional character of Freddy Krueger starts like invading the set and pulling people into the dreams and all that stuff.
Interesting. Is Wes Craven himself in the movie?
I believe he is. He's also he's in this one. He's in Scream very briefly as a janitor, like mm-hmm. Henry Winkler, the principal, kind of pokes out into the hallway, and Wes Craven looks up and says something, and that's pretty much it.
Remember that really weird show that we watched a year or two ago? Maybe more at this point. Maybe it was when we were in San Francisco. Nirvana, the band, the show.
Yes,
that was so meta.
Oh my god, yeah. What was that? I feel like that was a fever dream.
That
or
was
something.
Crazy because that show was like these two guys that were acting, but they would incorporate people who did not know they were in a fake show. It was just such a mindfuck of an experience. Like, if you haven't seen Nirvana, the band, the show, and you have a free night, you're with your friends and you want to do something fun, definitely watch
that. Sound like Viceland or something.
Yeah, hopefully it's still available to watch, but because that was fucking bonkers.
It was
show.
Such a weird thing because it's like there would be scripted narratives and these guys are playing characters, mm-hmm. but they would shoot it like in these real locations. Mm-hmm. And so you were constantly wondering like, wait, is this a shoot or is this a work? You know?
Right. Like, yeah. Like that one time when they were in the movie theater and the one guy like goes into the projector room and tries to like put his movie into the projector or take his movie out. I don't remember what, but then like the guy who actually worked there was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. And it's, they made it in such a way that like, I think they wanted you to wonder what was a shoot and what was a work
yeah.
the whole time.
Yeah.
And what a weird thing. I totally forgot about that. That was in San Francisco. We watched
cool.
that. Yeah. Speaking of being ahead of its time, Scream also has a somber cover of a popular song. We've got a somber Don't Fear the Reaper,
of course,
going on here.
But maybe like it's like Don't Fear the Reaper at that point would have been like what, 20 years earlier? Was it late 70s?
Oh yeah, that was like a classic rock song at that point.
So maybe like somber covers that are being put out today are from songs like 20 years ago. Maybe that's the cycle.
It'd be like if there's a somber cover of like Sex and Candy in a movie now. I guess that's kind of a somber song
it
to begin with.
It is already quite somber.
It's not exactly an anthem or an arena rock song.
God, I fucking hate somber covers.
I do too.
Just use a somber song. There's no shortage of them.
I think we're past, there was like a year and a half while we've been living here
when
in New York.
In every fucking game trailer
every
ever.
Every game trailer, every movie trailer, it would be like a, you know, another brick in the wall, but trying to make it more breathy and somber. And it's just like, okay. Like, wah, wah, wah,
well,
like
there's
noise.
This like type of female vocal that's come into vogue in like the past 10 years, which is like really breathy and like kind of like the kind you would hear just doing like acoustic songs. And I feel like that vocal does every cover now.
I don't like that style of singing at all.
That breathiness.
I just, it seems really put on and obnoxious to me. Mm-hmm. I know it's not for me, but I hear it. I'm just like, ah, quit doing that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yes. Turn into my father immediately with that. Another 90s thing about this movie, the I love seeing like 90s computer interfaces or even just the computers themselves. Like, it very much just reminded me of that honking like Packard Bell that we had in my house. And they do the 911 deaf typer thing.
Yeah.
Which, was anyone in her house supposed to be deaf? Because it was just Neve Campbell and her parents, right?
Was
and,
it the, I thought they just made it seem like it was kind of like an instant message type
thing. No, it specifically said it was like an IP relay thing. You remember that?
Yeah, I know, IP relay.
Yeah, yeah.
My brothers used to abuse the shit out of those.
Oh, people. Yeah. Yeah, everyone I knew in college did too. But it, what a weird thing to like, they flash the screen real quick and it says like 911 deaf relay.
Isn't it weird that like, it's 2019. If you're listening to this in 2020, it's 2020. And we still can't just, like, text 911 if you have an emergency. What if, like,
some cities you can.
Some cities, but, like, I feel like it should be way more ubiquitous.
Yeah, it seems like that would be, like, the ideal way in case of, like, a home invasion or something.
Yeah.
And, speaking of which, I think that's a reason this movie struck a chord with a ton of people and was really scary to people, including myself back then. Because I think a lot of people in, like, suburban America are just constantly terrified that there is going to be a home invasion.
Well, that's where it happens. I mean,
suburban America?
Yeah, that's where the most brutal shit happens. You don't really hear about a lot of serial killers in New York City. I mean, people will come in through, like, fire escapes if someone's dumb enough to leave their window open and they have, like, a fire escape. But, like, it's rarely, like, a serial killer situation.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, it does happen in the suburbs and certainly, like, these houses in the movie that were kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But, like, statistically, just the odds of something like that happen are, like, so much lower than, like a car crash is astronomically higher odds of happening. But everyone's so fucking terrified of home invasions. You know, myself included. You know, growing up, you'd hear noises and stuff and you'd see the motion light or something turn on. You'd be like, oh, fuck, what is it? Our door's locked. Like,
right.
Everyone is scared to death of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a fear. Like, I always lock the door as soon as I get in the apartment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You just got to be careful because you never know. Because what would you do if that happened? You'd be totally fucked if someone comes in with a weapon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not worth it.
Text 911.
Text 911. But with my phone, like, I could just press the thing, my power button 5 times and it'll, like, call.
The emergency thing?
Yeah, that's smart. Which is reassuring. Makes me feel good.
I thought it was interesting. Like, I was wondering if, I'm not going to say it out loud because computers in the room will get mad at me, but Alexa and other, like, smart assistants, Siri and so forth, you can't really do call 911 through those. Like, I remember there's some article I read recently that explained why. I don't remember specifically, but, like, you just can't do it through those.
Huh.
And I thought it was weird in, what was that movie, The Get Out, and Jordan Peele's, Us. Yes, and Us and This Is Us are very different things based on what I know. But there's that scene where Tim Heidecker is, what's happening there? Are they killing each other or are, like, oh, the clones or whatever of Tim Heidecker and his wife are killing them. And, like, they try to call 911 through the smart assistant thing and it works. But yeah, don't try that.
Interesting.
If anyone's pregnant
in
your house,
that.
Don't do that. And maybe don't text, unfortunately.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah. I was saying I want a panic room in our house when we get a house.
Yeah, yeah, full on, yeah, press a button, like huge, like locking pistons and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we can do that.
Cool.
Have you seen Panic Room?
No, but I know Jodie Foster is in it.
I was underwhelmed. It has a really good title sequence. And there's some good David Fincher stuff going on. Country superstar Dwight Yoakam is one of the home invaders. If you ever want to see a good Dwight Yoakam movie.
I mean, how good can a movie be if it just takes place in one room the whole time?
It seemed like, if I remember right, Fincher had a lot of fun doing his twisty, weird camera stuff through all the, like, stairs and pipes and stuff of the house. Like, he's having fun trying to move the camera around a house as much as he can. Mm-hmm. But I remember being, I don't remember if it was right after Fight Club, but I was pretty hyped up for the next David Fincher thing, and that didn't do it for me that much.
Mm.
Yes, but this movie got some sequels.
Indeed.
We had 2, 3, and 4. So 2 was well-received. I have not seen it. I assume you have not seen any of these.
No.
3 I saw because I was working at the movie theater when it came out in 2000, and I guess that had some controversy because it came out, you know, fairly shortly after Columbine, mm-hmm. and like any media with violence and stuff in it, especially with, like, well, I guess they wouldn't have been high schoolers at this point, but, you know.
College. It's funny how that stuff aligns sometimes. I know there was like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode that was supposed to come out around that time that had like a school shooting type of thing, and they had to push it back. Like, I remember with 9/11, Dream Theater released this live album with like a picture of the skyline on fire.
Oh, yeah.
New York City skyline on fire. Like, it's just weird how that stuff aligns sometimes.
Well, after 9/11, it's weird. Several of my, like, favorite games got delayed or changed because of it. So Metal Gear Solid 2 had a scene at the end where Arsenal Gear is crashing into Lower Manhattan and, like, knocking buildings over and everything, and they had to kind of cut that out. So basically, it's like Arsenal Gear is heading to New York, and then it's, like, fade, and then it's just right there by the U.S. Treasury mm-hmm. building. GTA 3 got delayed a bit, and I was super excited for that. I don't know if they changed, like, if you could do more plane stuff in it originally, but if you remember in GTA 3, you just had the Dodo, which was this little plane that could barely get off the ground, and mm-hmm. I spent hours trying to get that thing to fly, and it always seemed like you could if you got the right motion there.
I remember being incredibly frustrated by the helicopter driving mechanics in GTA 5 most recently. I remember just being terrible at that for some reason.
I don't know why, but like helicopter stuff and plane stuff, I think in games, I've always taken to pretty easily. Mm. I played a lot of like Ace Combat and stuff like that. Mm. I always was jealous of my friends who had flight sticks and stuff like that. But what was the other one? Oh, Command & Conquer, Red Alert 2. The cover of that had the Twin Towers on fire in the background, so I think they took that one down. Project Gotham Racing, the first one. I also worked at a Funko Land during 9/11, and the cover of that had the Twin Towers just normally standing in mm-hmm. the background. They took that down, but we had display units of it, so I actually grabbed a couple of the Xbox cases of Project Gotham before it came out, before they changed it.
Do you still have it?
I think somewhere I might.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think probably out in Kansas at my dad's
place. It's weird that, like, just having any depiction of the Twin Towers at all would be removed.
Yeah. Same time, I worked at the movie theater and Funko Land, and at the theater, that first Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie was coming out, and the teaser trailer was Spider-Man, like, catching a helicopter in a web between the Twin Towers, and the poster had the Twin Towers and the reflection of Spider-Man's eye, and so all that stuff had to be taken down. The trailer's gone, the posters are gone, all that
crazy
stuff. Yeah, weird time.
Yeah, it was a terrible time.
Yeah, and then I forgot that there was a Scream 4, actually. I thought it was just the 3, but in 2011, they got, like, the whole core cast back. It seems like Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, and David Arquette are kind of the, like, you know, through all of them stars. And also Liev Schreiber, which we saw very briefly in this first one. Cotton Weary. We see him just in some news footage getting released from prison, like he was falsely accused of killing Neve Campbell's mother. But then I also saw on Wikipedia that I guess he's in 2 and 3. So that makes me wonder if he becomes, like, if he's one of the good guys since he was innocent or whatever. Or because how did that turn out? Did he actually sleep with Neve's mother?
He slept with her, but he didn't kill her, no.
Right.
I think it was implied that Billy and Stu were the ones that killed her.
That's right. That's right. Had you seen Matthew Lillard or Jamie Kennedy in anything else, like, in the 90s? Or was
just
this kind of...
Just that, like, hidden camera show that Jamie Kennedy had.
Oh, the Jamie Kennedy experiment?
Matthew Lillard, was that the Stu guy? Is that the obnoxious?
Yeah, the super
obnoxious
one.
I've definitely seen him and stuff, but I can't put my finger on what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the famous Jamie Kennedy E3 hosting thing?
Probably.
Oh, it is. Look.
What publisher?
I think it was Activision, I want to say. And I think he's just doing the, like, yeah, nerds, right? Virgin nerds playing games thing. I think he interviews Tony Hawk about the Tony Hawk games, and it's, like, just super painfully awkward, and you feel bad for Tony Hawk. But it's one of the top 5 crash and burn E3 performances I've ever seen.
Wow.
Like him, Mr. Caffeine. Boy, they're the first two I think of.
Well, was Mr. Caffeine really just a disaster? I mean, it went down in history.
I mean, I love it. I loved sitting in that Game Informer war room when Mr. Caffeine was live and just seeing everyone just like stare with their, like Joe Juba, I will never forget. I think I have pictures on my phone of him with his head in his hands and his mouth completely open, just staring at the screen silently. Just like, what the fuck is Tom Clancy's poop on your toothbrush? God.
Clancy.
I do think that Jamie Kennedy was the worst one, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jay Moore did one recently at like a QuakeCon or BlizzCon or something where he did the same leaning on like, you nerds. You're like, well, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Like, you know what the audience is.
Yeah. It's so stupid. Are you just playing for the people at home that don't care about video games who would not be watching this?
Yeah. I'm sure a bunch of like jocks are watching live streams of BlizzCon or something. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Trying to think of any other notes about this. Like, who did you think going through this? Did you have any inklings of who you thought the killer would be?
I suspected it was Billy. It kind of, the movie goes through, make it seem like it really could be any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It leans heavily into like, oh, is it the dad?
Yeah.
But Billy with the phone was really curious. And the fact that whenever, like, the first killing happened with Drew Barrymore, obviously at night, and then he comes into Sid's window, so he was obviously out at night.
It's on the premises.
On the premises, yeah.
And it's not like that outfit would be a really quick, hard one to just kind of like take off and throw in the bushes or something.
Right, right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But it was abundantly unclear what their motivations were, Stu and Billy, but I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, I think they were doing the stuff in their little monologues at the end where it's like, isn't it scarier when there is no motive? But then doesn't Skeet Ulrich say something about how like, oh, my dad, what was the deal with his dad? Like he said something about like, oh, your mom did this and that's, I mean, my dad got punished or something for it.
Oh, something like that.
It was something where he's, at first he made it seem like there was no motive, but then he seemed like there was some grudge to bear.
I was surprised that there was two killers too. That was a
Yeah.
choice for me, but
I did think it led to one of the funnier scenes where they're just like repeatedly stabbing each other in the kitchen and just like, dude, I'm getting woozy here. Like, I'm bleeding a lot right now.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was reading about the copycat murders that happened subsequently.
Yeah.
And it's just exactly what you imagine. Like a lot of impressionable boys in that age frame who took the ball and ran with it, got the ghost face mask, and
right.
these two boys killed the one kid's mom, you know, a lot of stuff like that, killing their friends, just stupid shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, now it's, you know, now people just, instead of doing singular killings with a ghost face mask, they go into school and kill a lot of people. But
right,
This the murders were influenced by the serial killer, the Gainesville Ripper, who killed a lot of co-eds in Florida in the early 90s, I want to say.
Was it like a Ted Bundy type thing? Or
It wasn't Ted Bundy in that he didn't kill as many people. I think he killed like 8 people, the Gainesville Ripper. But it was obviously brutal and like decapitated them and posed the bodies and everything.
Oh,
yeah, he was put to death. But apparently the script writer, the writer of the movie saw, like, heard about that and then was inspired to write this. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, massively successful. It was, it topped Halloween, the first one, as the most successful box office horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually, the new Halloween from 2018 is what was the first one to top it. But with inflated, adjusted for inflation, Scream is still the most successful horror movie of all time.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You know what? I think it works really well as that, like, thing that looks at the genre, and I think it also works on its own too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not straight up parody or anything like that. I think it just works as a fun slasher movie in its own right.
Right.
So I think they walked a very fine like balancing act there.
It's hard to do when they're constantly reminding you about movies and then, you know, indirectly reminding you that this is a movie. It's hard to become invested in it and in the characters when they're always doing that, but
it does go back and forth between like going with the trope and then also subverting it at
mm-hmm.
times, you know. So like sometimes it is like, oh, they just did say I'll be right back and then got killed or whatever, but then there's times where it's like, oh, they had sex and then she's alive still.
Yeah.
Because she or she went to the front porch and is fine, you know.
Yeah, it was interesting for me. I kind of, because I couldn't really get super into it in that way, I kind of watched it as an exploration of the genre rather than like a story that they want you to become absorbed into or like actually affected by, like how normal horror movies are supposed to affect you, you know.
Oh, right. Like there were no deaths or anything where I was like, oh no, you know, like I wasn't, I don't know if I'm like, I'm not a huge huge slasher fan. I haven't seen a lot of them. Tim Curry showed us Halloween 1 and 2 in the same night a couple years ago. Mm. And I thought those were really good.
Yeah, those were great. And I enjoyed watching them. I really like The Hitcher. But these movies just don't scare me. They just entertain me.
Yeah, I was thinking of this recently because I watched Event Horizon again. And it's like, it was never the things growing up, like slashers or jump scares or anything like that, that scared me. It was just, I grew up Catholic, you know, and went to Catholic school. And so it was anything that had any hint of like the devil or hell or anything like that. So it's like, you know, people jumping out of closets and stabbing each other, you know, like, or Resident Evil is a good example. I would get like a quick, like, ah, you know, but it's not like I'm just like terrified the whole time. Mm-hmm. But you give me a fucking spaceship that went to hell and came back and then everyone's spooky and talking in Latin. It's like, okay, yeah, that's going to scare the shit out of me.
So stupid. Scary video games will scare me.
Good ones, yeah.
Like, there's some, I jumped a few times playing Man of Medan.
Man of Medan had a few good ones. I think Until Dawn had more.
It definitely had more. But the worst was, or should I say the best, was Resident Evil 7 in VR. I could not walk forward. I was just terrified.
You were just staring down the staircase, which is a bad scene down there in the basement.
It was terrible.
Yeah, but like you were just like, I felt your heart, and it was just like beating through your chest with the headset on.
I just hung out in like the save room.
Yeah,
where I was safe.
The peaceful music and everything right at the top of the stairs. Oh man, RE7 is fucking good.
That's good.
I love that game.
While you were playing that, and like the dad was chasing you around at one point, like in the very beginning, I could not. I was like, I'm so glad Dan's playing this and not me. I was terrified.
Oh man, it really, really got me. What a cool thing. I'm glad Resident Evil is having a resurgence and it's good again.
Totally.
One other note. I'm so happy that I've made references before on podcasts to there's the police stock noise that I've heard a million times in my life, but I've never had a clear way to point at it and be like, this is the one. So this is the one. I hope if you hear it, I'll play it right now. That's the one that was in the Spider-Man CD-ROM Make Your Own Little Spider-Man movie game. And I made a million Spider-Man like animations and short films and stuff like that. And that was the only police sound effect for when the police came into the frame and everything.
What does it sound like? I mean, do it yourself.
Okay, we just did it, but I didn't actually get to hear it.
No.
So I think it was like 205 North Avenue. I think it's something like that. But I heard it just clear as day when Neve Campbell's in the car near the end. And it's like, oh, yep, that's the one.
I could pick up on those kinds of sounds, the stock sounds that you hear everywhere.
Oh, like the Wilhelm scream and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Any other thoughts about Scream?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I did too.
It was a good movie for the season. It didn't spook me, but hey.
No, it's just a fun time.
It's a fun movie.
Fun characters. Yeah. I really like the cast a lot.
I would have loved to see it in context of the late 90s when there weren't a lot of movies doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I could see why it was such a big deal for sure.
Yeah, I think that was 96, and the next horror movie I can think of that came along and was kind of a cultural phenomenon was Blair Witch.
That movie is awesome. I love that movie.
Yeah, and unlike Scream, like this was, you know, I know it's only 3 years separating it, but like it was those 3 years where the internet really exploded, and Blair Witch was one of the first movies that really took advantage of like, oh man, we're spreading these rumors that like this is real found footage, and like they had this real big web presence before any kind of like, you know, Facebook or anything like that, and it worked.
Totally.
Like it really got everyone talking about that movie, and it was, again, I was working at the theater when that came out, just lines around the fucking building.
Yeah.
It was such a huge hit.
That's awesome. Did you see it back in the 90s?
I did. I saw it back then.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I remember thinking it was really effective.
Yeah,
especially
I like found footage movies like that.
Mm-hmm. And that was like the one, you know, back then.
Mm.
So, cool. Well, that's a fun, spooky Halloween movie. We hope you are enjoying your Halloween week. And, you know, check out a horror movie if you want to.
Listen to some Typo Negative. Perfect music for the Halloween season.
There you go. They're the Halloween band. And if you're looking for a Halloween movie, I looked through all those different streaming services. And I found that Hulu doesn't have much of anything as far as Halloween movies. Amazon Prime has a bunch of like older stuff and like bad cheesy stuff, like 80s stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix has kind of a bigger grab bag of all over the place. So I would say look at Netflix or Amazon Prime if you're looking for something scary to watch this Halloween week.
Cool.
Yep. But that'll be it for this week on Panning the Stream.
Lock your doors.
Lock your doors.
Shut your windows.
Yes. Don't text 911.
No.
As we do every week, we want to thank everyone that helps us out on the Patreon. That is patreon.com/panningthestream. We keep it simple. It's only one $5 tier. That gets you a ad-free version of Panning the Stream every week. And also, you get your own personal Bonku.
Bonku. We got a Bonku this week, Dan.
We got a Bonku. Let's hear it. Oh, here it comes.
This one is for... His name is Mitch. He's a lover. He's a child. He's a brother. He's a guy named Mitch. I don't know anything else about him, but I wrote this Bonku.
This is the longest Bonku ever. Jeez. I'm going to have to check the syllable count on this.
Mitch, listen, we all know Mitch is a quality guy. The kind of guy that would give you his Price Plus card if you forgot yours at home.
That is a regional reference.
The kind of guy that would, you know, let you get ahead of him in the highway or whatever.
In the line at Price Chopper or Dillon's or Hy-Vee?
Well, I was talking like driving in the highway.
Oh,
like,
okay. We're out of the regional grocery store reference.
I think everyone can relate to that, right? Okay. I always let people go ahead of me. I don't want to start anything on the highway. This is not the place for conflict.
Same here, but it's out of sheer terror that I do it when I drive.
Well, I also vigorously wave thank you to anyone that lets me do anything on the highway.
Oh, good. You're very nice.
I remember one time I was driving. Sorry, Mitch, one second. And I was just like driving down Rochelle Avenue, and I went to take a left onto Route 17, and this guy pulled up right like next to me at the light, because we were at the light and the light has to turn green for me to turn left on 17. And this guy just starts, he rolls down his window and starts screaming at me.
Oh,
and
geez.
I had no idea why. I was fucking terrified. I didn't know what I did. I was so scared.
I wish I could have been there.
You know how afraid I am of conflict? I am so afraid of conflict.
I wish I could have been there to shake a fist at him.
You wouldn't have done anything.
I would have shaken a fist.
You've never even shown any sign of ever wanting to get into it with someone that does something weird to me.
What? That does... I'm a weak man that's never been in a fight.
Yeah, I know, but don't act like you would ever try to, you know, get between me and some crazy guy that was
I would shake a fist.
Okay, well, maybe if we were in a car, you would.
Yeah, I would shake a fist, but... as long as we took the next turn and went and hid in a park somewhere.
And then zoomed up the
and
highway.
And called the cops immediately.
All right, but Mitch, here's your Bonku, bud. No children would play with the devilish boy, Mitch. Evil was within.
Ooh. I like how you kind of said devilish because Mitch was coming up next.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a little bit of a slur there. Slurred my speech.
The devilish Mitch.
Devilish boy. Let me try it again.
Okay.
No children would play with the devilish boy, Mitch. Evil was within.
Oh, goodness. There you go, Mitch. Thank you so much.
Twofer for you, Mitch. Double whammy.
Yes. Thank you for being a patron. And of course, we only do one read out loud every week. But if you sign up to be a patron of Painting the Stream, you will get that in your little inbox there pretty soon afterwards. Your little inbox is what they call it. It's a trademark of Patreon. That's their thing. Look, it's their branding. I don't know. Thanks for that, everyone. If you want to email us any comments or suggestions or anything, it is paintingthestream@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I was trying to think of what the next, I was stretching that out as long as I could because I forgot what the next thing
is. We auto-tuned that little part.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that.
If you want to.
Yes, it was a Miitomo that said that. At twitter.com. I'll just say,
if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so on PanTheStream.
Man, I miss Miitomo. Yes, it's at PanTheStream on Twitter, and we'll let you know what we're watching the next week if you want to watch along. That's about it. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to all the patrons for keeping the lights on here.
Keep those lights on.
Thanks to Razor for being a good boy.
What
real
a good boy
here. Bonk, thanks to you each and every week for joining me here. Thanks to Tom Monda for the theme song.
That's my brother.
And that'll be it. We will see you all next week on Painting the Stream.
Goodbye.